So I'd like to acknowledge that we are on Wiliyakali land of the Bakangji Nation, of which their sovereignty was never ceded. So today we're here on a Saturday morning to have a little chat about women and music and creativity. My name's Alex and I live in Broken Hill. I've been living here on and off for the last 4 years. I'm a visual artist and a musician, and I'm here today talking to Charlotte Lelievre. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, Charlotte?
Hi, nice to be here with you, Alex. My name's Charlotte Lelievre. I am also a musician. I lived in Broken Hill for quite a long time and I'm currently based down in Melbourne, but still have a very strong connection to Wiliyakali and Barkindji country in Broken Hill. And I was a former community lawyer and that's what brought me to Broken Hill. But I'm now studying to be a nurse and hopefully will be a nurse in 6 months' time, and also a country musician, and am about to release my debut record, Songs from the Barrier Line.
Oh, I'm so excited to be talking to you for International Women's Day. I've not really ever done much radio stuff, but I know that you have done quite a bit of radio stuff at Too Dry. When you lived here, you had a show, didn't you?
Yes. I am a massive fan of Too Dry FM and I'm still a member. And when I lived in Broken Hill, you might remember me as Seabones. I did the blues show on a Thursday night from 9 to 10pm. And, it was wonderful coming into Too Dry every week and picking a theme and playing some blues music on the airwaves for everyone.
Yeah, I don't think I was living here at that time. I can't actually remember when we met. Do you remember when we met? I think it was like when I first moved to town in, was it 2018?
Yes. Yeah, we met in 2018 when you came up to do a residency at the Art Exchange.
Oh, true. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I remember meeting you and thinking that you looked super punk. You had like really bright purple hair or white purple hair and... Yeah, I was like, when I remember actually seeing you play for the first time and being like, holy crap, this woman is amazing and she's a country musician.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I think that Broken Hill was really the catalyst for me loving country music. And prior to moving to Broken Hill, you know, I wasn't really that much of a diehard country musician.
I would say the same for me too. Like I definitely listened to country music prior, but I didn't really sing country or write country or, yeah, I can totally understand that Broken Hill brings that out in people.
Yeah, it definitely does.
So let's talk a little bit about your album. So where did you record the album?
So I recorded the album at an amazing studio called Sound Recordings, and it's an analog studio. So it's recorded, we recorded live to tape. There's not a computer in sight in the studio.
Oh, my God. I've dreamed about doing that. That's amazing.
Yeah, and it was on an old, like, 8-track recorder with engineer Alex Bennett, and it's a studio in Campbell's Creek. And we recorded in the depths of winter last year.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it was really special. It was the full moon and we had a wood fire roaring in the studio.
All the elements coming together to record this album, bloody hell.
Yeah, it was very special and it was a very intentional choice on my part to record the album at Sound Recordings and to record it live to tape. And I think lots of my friends have also recorded there, including William Alexander and Kat and Clint and Jess Parker. Yep. And, you know, I really like that, you know, the studio holds the memory of all those songs and musicians who've played in there before me, and I really wanted that to be kind of captured in the album.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, and also, you know, I really wanted to capture a really raw, old school, authentic country sound. And
with that, like I know that when you record, sometimes you have to re-record.
You do.
So, did that happen much, or was it really smooth sailing? Like, how did the recording go?
Some songs we did in one take. We did.
Love
there
that.
Are a couple of one take wonders.
Yes.
a couple there was we didn't, and it's just beautiful. You just hit rewind on the tape, you roll back, and then
True.
you hit record and you go again.
Yeah, isn't there some, like, wasn't it Queen or something, and they wore out the tape when they recorded Bohemian Rhapsody? Yeah.
True.
Yeah, but I don't think that was them redoing it. That was them doing, like, overdub. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, it's a very cool process.
So with the songs that are on this album, did you write them all here, or, like, how did you go about deciding that you were writing an album?
I guess it was a pretty organic process. I mean, lots of the songs I wrote about Broken Hill, and it's not necessarily that I was in Broken Hill when I wrote them, but a lot of them are inspired by Broken Hill. And often I wrote a lot of songs after, even when I moved away from Broken Hill, I'd come back for a visit and then I'd write songs again that are kind of inspired by my experiences there.
There's a lot of inspiration out here for music, definitely.
Yeah. And then I guess I just had a bit of a songwriting burst in 2020, and I thought, oh, cool, I've got a body of songs that kind of fit together really well.
Yeah, right.
So then I decided that I'd put them all together and make an album with those songs, those 10 songs.
Because I know with my process in making art that sometimes I'll make something and then – or I'll make a few things in terms of – it could be music or it could be like art piece or whatever. But then on reflection, I'll see that it has a theme – moving through it that's completely unintentional. Did you find that at all? Like, have you got something like a thread bringing them together?
Yeah, I really connect with that statement. I think that that's really what happened for me too, is that I'd written all these songs and then I was like, whoa, these songs kind of tell a story. And I guess there's two main themes that run through the album, and one is kind of my experience and journey of, like, connecting with Broken Hill and honouring place and my connection to place. But also losing my mum in 2019, and a big part of this album is me kind of reconciling that loss and processing my grief. But Broken Hill being a really essential place for me in terms of that process as well. So it's kind of the synergy of those two experiences. And
wow, that's huge. So this is a very, very special album, hey?
Yeah, it's really special and it's really personal. And, I mean, it's my first record, and I have written lots of songs before and haven't managed to get into the studio before, but I think that it's actually the most, I guess in some ways I feel really grateful that I haven't recorded anything till now, because I think this is the perfect album for me to kind of launch my recording career with, because it really says a lot about who I am and the experiences that I've lived through in the past kind of 10 years.
And the whole process of recording has honoured that in a way too, because you went about it in such a organic way.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, we made lots of really intentional kind of choices in the way that we sequenced the album as well. And I really feel like if you have a vinyl, a record player, that this album's really made to be listened to on vinyl. And the side A, side B, we put so much thought into the track sequencing. And if you have a record player.
And I definitely have pre-ordered my copy.
Thank you. I'm so grateful.
I can't wait. When you brought out the single, I was like, damn it, I want the whole album now.
Well, we've only got a week to go.
I know, it's
exciting.
Not long. It's not long. And we also get to see it live as well, which is very exciting, which we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But so I've got a few songs here that you've pre-selected to talk about them influencing your practice. And the first one is interesting because we were talking a little bit before about you being a crusty punk, or looking like a crusty punk, and then coming and becoming a country queen. PJ Harvey, To Bring You My Love. I came to PJ Harvey very late in my life. And I remember people always saying to me, how do you not know who PJ Harvey is? And I was like, I don't know. It's one of those things where I've just, it's like Christmas. I wanted to wait. I wanted to hold off. And then I listened to it and it was literally like Christmas. It was amazing. I remember being on the train and listening to this album on the way home from uni and just being blown away by it. But I'm interested to hear how this has influenced your practice or your songwriting.
Yeah. I found PJ Harvey when I was a teenager. I was probably about 16, 17, and PJ Harvey just blew my mind.
Yeah, she definitely does that.
Yeah. And she's so prolific. Like, she's written so many excellent records. And, you know, the record that I was really obsessed with was Stories from the City, Stories from the Sea, which I just brought. And then I found To Bring You My Love, which she'd released earlier. You know, this track is just so awesome. It just has this pace and the way that it builds. Mm-hmm. And I think really when I first moved to Broken Hill, as I said before, I wasn't a country musician. I was really more writing kind of alternative folk or alternative kind of music that was, you know, with an electric guitar that was very influenced by PJ Harvey. Yeah, but she's such an incredible songwriter, and you know, she's written lots of epic songs, including murder ballads and songs about place and the way that she conjures up place in her songs. And I think that that's something that I do as well. And I think that that's really what I took from PJ Harvey, is the way that she can, you know, conjure up a feeling of place and also just conjure up a feeling and a mood.
Definitely, there's a mood to it. But I feel like it kind of crosses genres, because, like you were saying, it's steady, this song. Like, if you think about gospel and you think about, you know, chain gang songs and the rhythm of the chain gang, I can totally see that in this song.
Yeah, me too. That's a really, really good point.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, although I love country, I really, I think that a lot of my other influences are apparent in my music, and also, like, I flip between, country's a very broad church,
very broad.
And I flip between all those currents of country, and I think that PJ does that too.
You see
all the influences in her music, and there's like grit and earth, and like, yeah, you're right, it is a very like gospel song, the pace of it.
I found that in a lot of her music. I guess it's a combination of her melodies but also her lyrics, because she's writing about similar themes, I guess.
Lots of
women empowerment and like you said, place.
And I think as a young female musician, and I think that a lot has actually shifted in the past 15 years since I was a teenager, you know, it was still very male-dominated scenes that I was involved in, and someone like PJ Harvey, who was just like this powerhouse singer, songwriter, guitarist, was so inspiring for a young teenage musician to be like, oh, I can do this. And I think that, PJ Harvey was probably the musician that I loved the hardest first, and has had a monumental influence on the musician that I've become, even though that I've kind of veered away from the genres that she plays. I wouldn't be writing the songs that I am if it wasn't for hearing her music and loving her songs.
Well, let's have a listen to it, shall we?
Yeah.
So we're going to be listening to Bring You My Love, and it's from her album of the same name, To Bring You My Love.
just come closer. I think my time is near. And I've traveled over dry earth and floods, hell and high water, to bring you my love. Climbed over mountains, traveled the sea, cast down down on my knees. I've lain with the devil, cursed God above, forsaken heaven, to bring you my love, to bring you God above, lay with the devil, bring you my love, to bring you my love, to bring you my love, to bring you my love.
I haven't listened to that song for ages, and it's so powerful. It just makes me want to write music, really. I just want to go home, get my electric guitar, and make lots of loud noise.
I remember when I first moved to Broken Hill, you know, this was an album that I was listening to a lot, and I think, you know, she references the desert and crossing all these sparse terrains in the song, and I remember just, like, walking out in the desert and listening to this song and just having this immense feeling of openness. And, it's a really powerful song.
It's quite open as well in terms of the way that she's written it. Like, there's a lot of space in that song.
Yeah. And I think that's a surprisingly hard thing to do.
it definitely is.
Yeah.
You were saying before about how when you moved out here you were a lawyer, and now you're studying to become a nurse. I'm interested to hear, because I listened to a podcast that you were a part of for Nursing Australia, which was really interesting, about you becoming a nurse. But I'm really interested to hear about how these worlds connect. Like, how does studying nursing and releasing an album and writing music and all of that work together? Yeah. I'm really interested to hear about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think through this process I've just realized how all my life experiences and the different ways that I identify are really interconnected. Mm. And, you know, I moved out to Broken Hill at a time when my mum had been diagnosed with cancer, and she was in a really stable place with her treatment when I moved out to Broken Hill. But, you know, I was in my mid-20s and I was confronting a parent's mortality, and that's a really big thing for a young person to go through. Yeah. And I guess then all these songs started coming out, and Broken Hill was a catalyst for a new era of songwriting for me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, losing Mum when I was 30, and I guess like having 4 years working as a lawyer and feeling pretty disenfranchised with the legal system and the ability to achieve justice for people through that system. Mm. And having a really profound experience with oncology and palliative care nurses through my mum's journey, and just how much they impacted and shaped our experience of death and dying, and how profound that was. And I just can't respect nurses enough, the nurses that cared for Mum so well and cared for us as a family. And I think that, you know, I quit my job after Mum passed away, and I took some time off. And, yeah, you know, during that time started writing a lot of songs.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you write a lot during that time?
Yeah, like, I mean, I had a little bit of a break. It was kind of about a year after Mum passed away that all these songs just kind of flooded out of me that I think I'd been storing up for a while. And I think, around that time I also made the decision to start nursing.
Yeah, right, they're almost two, like, new rebirths, really.
Yeah, you're right about that. Like, I really did have this rebirth period about a year after Mum died where, you know, I started studying nursing. A lot of the songs that are on this album I wrote during that period, and I really moved into a new phase. And I think it's just interesting losing Mum, becoming a nurse, and my love for Broken Hill are just really interconnected, and they're also kind of very interconnected in this album. But it's a lot. I've just been on a placement for 4 weeks and
wow.
Doing placement and releasing an album.
Yeah, that's massive.
It's massive.
Yeah.
And I don't have much time left after those things.
Yeah, it's taking a lot of your energy. It's interesting when we do lots of different things, like you were saying, like they are intertwined, so nursing and your mum passing away and grieving and rebirth and even the landscape of Broken Hill. Like, you could see them all as separate, but it's interesting when we think about, we can pretty much connect anything together, if that makes sense. Like, I've been thinking a lot about my art practices, or the fact that I make visual art, I do photography, I'm a musician, I'm a mother, I'm a teacher, all these things that I do. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was young, I had this huge pressure of, like, I've just got to pick one of them. I can only do one thing. And that's so stupid. Because we can do so many things and they can all relate to each other as well. And I think it becomes less overwhelming when we can see them all relating to each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think our identities are really diverse and complex.
Yeah.
And being able to be like, oh, I'm not one of these things, I'm all of these things, and they all influence each other and hold each other.
And I think, like, even becoming a mother, I think that I found that identity to be very singular, but as I'm kind of getting used to being a mother, I'm realizing that so much relates to that, and so many things that I did before can be intertwined into mothering.
Yeah, and I feel like I've really loved, you know, since, you've become a mother, like I feel like you've been also really like reinvigorating your art practice, and it's nice to see all those things kind of coalesce together.
Which is like, I guess I'm going to relate this back as well. It's interesting to think about like that happening to you with your, like your mother passing and you kind of rebirthing your music through that as well, through that mother connection.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Definitely.
Mm. So I've got another song here by Gillian Welsh called The Revelator. And
yes.
I'm pretty sure the album is titled Time Revelator. It's the same, similar to the first one, To Bring You My Love. I love Gillian Welsh. I think this was the first album that I heard of hers. I can't remember if this is her first album or not, but this is the first one that I heard. I used to work in this cafe when I was 17 and we only had a CD player and we had like 10 CDs that we used to play on repeat, and this was one of the CDs and it was the best one. It kind of relates to what we were talking about as well, with time revealing all things and that things have different paths and journeys to take. But I'm interested to hear how Gillian or this song has influenced your practice.
Yeah, I loved Gillian Welsh for a long time, and I probably, you know, was listening when Mum first got diagnosed with cancer and I moved back to Newcastle, and I was listening to this album a lot. And then I moved to Broken Hill in 2015, and then Gillian Welsh toured.
Did you go?
Right at the beginning of 2016.
I remember that, and I remember seeing the tickets, and I remember being like, no, missed out. It was so sad.
I was living in Broken Hill. I drove to Adelaide.
Oh, yes.
And saw her play in this theatre in Adelaide, and it was so incredibly powerful.
Yep.
And particularly the encore song that she did, where she stepped away from the microphone and completely acoustically did a cover of Long Black Veil.
Oh, that's powerful.
It was really amazing. And then I drove back to Broken Hill. And, you know, I'd been feeling pretty isolated because I hadn't been in Broken Hill that long. And I think then, you know, having an experience of seeing live music and then returning to Broken Hill and being like, oh, God, what am I doing? And it was literally a week after I saw Gillian Welsh that I wrote Barrier Line, which is the title track from my record. And, I think I wouldn't have written that song if I hadn't have been to see Gillian Welsh, and if I didn't have, you know, the echoes of her music ringing so profoundly in my ears.
Yeah, wow.
And, I you know, this song that I've chosen, Revelator, is possibly my favourite Gillian Welsh song. And I think you're right, it really does connect to a lot of what we're talking about. You know, sometimes when you're in an experience, and particularly an experience that's, like, really challenging, it's really kind of hard to have perspective, and then sometimes you step outside of that, or time passes and, you know, your path is revealed. And I think about that a lot, you know, a lot of that. Sometimes I'm like, why didn't I just study nursing straight out of high school? And then being like, well,
you wouldn't have the perspective or the life experiences that you do now.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think this song really makes me be like, no, every choice we make happens for a reason, and we end up where we're meant to be. And I think just making peace with life and with the hard things, and I just think this song is just one of the best songs ever written.
Huge. Let's give it a listen then. Revelator from her album Time the Revelator. This is Gillian Welsh.
Darling, remember
While I was listening to it, I was remembering that I always wished that I was David Rollins. I can't play like him, but I love singing harmonies like him. And then I was like, oh, maybe I could just be Charlotte's David Rollins.
Yes, be my David Rollins. I love singing with you.
I love singing with you.
Yeah, you're an impeccable harmony singer. It's a very unique talent to be able to pick out the harmonies.
And whenever I hear people who do it, who I admire, like David Rawlins, I'm always like, oh, imagine if I could ever have the opportunity to sing for Julian. And then she's like, yeah, sure, come on tour with me. I always think about that. So you've chosen like two very powerful musicians.
Yes.
I heard on the grapevine that you did a mentorship program with Liz Stringer, who is also a powerful songwriter.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear a little bit about that.
For sure. I applied for a mentorship through the Australian Independent Record Labels Association Women in Music mentor program, and such an incredible program. And, you know, I got selected, and you got to nominate, you know, put down a bunch of people who you'd like to be mentored by. Mm. And Liz Stringer was my top choice, and she said yes. So nice. I got to have a series of sessions with Liz, and it was during the lockdown in 2021.
Oh, wow. So Zoom?
Yeah, we were meeting via Zoom every 2 weeks. And, you know, this album really wouldn't have come together if it wasn't for Liz. She provided such incredible advice to me about the recording process, about the release process. Mm.
Was that kind of what did you guide the mentorship program in that way? Like, is that what you wanted help with, or was it songwriting specific as well? Or
not songwriting. We kind of got to set the goals.
Yeah, cool.
And I think for me, you know, this is the first time I'm releasing music, so I was really a bit I don't know what this process looks like, as an independent DIY artist that's doing everything myself. I was like, I have no idea. And to have someone who, you know, Liz has a label now, but all her early records she released herself.
Mm.
And so to get advice from someone who, you know, for over 15 years has been doing this was so invaluable.
Mm.
And, you know, we developed a release plan together, and she also, you know, I was really fortunate to get a grant to record my album from
Amazing.
Creative Victoria. And it was Liz who said, you need to apply for grants.
Yeah, right.
And a grant came up while we were doing the mentorship, and Liz kind of read through my application and gave me some advice. And, you know, I'm really thankful to Liz for all that support, because, yeah, I think that it really helped me to be able to get the grant to then to be able to fund the record.
Mm.
And the grant was amazing, because I got to have all this money to pay musicians really well to play on the record.
You had options. Has she heard any of your songs, do you know?
I'm not sure. Mm. I think she's really busy. She's been on tour. She's just on tour with William Crichton. We have kept in touch a little bit. She was like, you know, you can email me if you need anything. And I've definitely had a few questions since things wrapped up, and she's been really great at responding to me. And, yeah, I think that Liz is one of my favourite songwriters in Australia, and I think that she deserves far more credit and accolades than what she's received.
I agree.
And yeah, she's astounding, and her new record that she put out last year, First Time Really Feeling, and that song, the title track from her record, is so phenomenal. You know, it's, yeah, I really urge everyone to listen to Liz, because she really is a bit of a stalwart and very, very inspiring. And she's also just really down to earth and raw and honest. And I really appreciate that when someone's just so authentically themselves.
Yeah, and I guess that would help with your confidence and like being able to take that information and use it. It's not like hidden, it's not secret, it's like very down to earth, very tangible information that you needed to release this album.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. It was really, really helpful, and also just really grateful to the Australian Independent Record Labels Association for this program. Mm. And, you know, we're celebrating International Women's Day, and I think that initiatives like that, like this, that like give support to women in the industry are so vital.
Definitely. How have you found this process of releasing your album with all this information?
Yeah, it's pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, the creating is a beautiful part. I mean, leading up to the recording process, I was a bit stressed, but pulled it all together. And I think that, yeah, I was really grateful for that mentor program, because I think it really demystified the process for me, and I was,
yeah,
it really helped me to
it
be able to
gave you some steps, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it can seem very, yeah, I can't imagine. Like, I've released an album, but I definitely didn't do the amount of work that you did. I was kind of like, yeah, let's just get it out there. But
yeah, it's a full-time job.
It is, yeah, like, definitely. And I think about, like, I don't know, 30 years ago, how they would have released albums is so different to how they release them now. Like, the amount of social media and the amount of, I guess, gaining traction and engagement and all these buzzwords, it's just... It's a totally different world. So I'm glad that Liz kind of gave you that information to help you feel less overwhelmed.
Yeah, totally. So helpful.
Yeah. So the last song that we've got here is by Loretta Lynn, Coal Miner's Daughter. And, yeah, I actually – I've heard this song once, but I – it was another one of these moments where I'm like, yeah, I wish I had have listened to more of Loretta Lynn when I was younger. But I haven't really listened to a lot of Loretta Lynn. I know who she is. Hester and I were discussing this the other day about, yeah, is she the one with heaps of kids? And I was like, yeah, I think she's the one with heaps of kids.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about this song. And also, yeah, I know that Loretta Lynn is like your hero. So talk to me about it.
Loretta Lynn is my hero. She is possibly one of the greatest songwriters of all time,
huge,
in my view. And, you know, she's an amazing woman. She grew up in a big working class family in rural America. She, you know, had lots of kids herself, and she was writing songs in the 50s and 60s that were incredibly progressive. She was writing about the pill. She was writing about contraception. Mm. She was writing about divorce. She was writing about women leaving shitty relationships.
Mm.
And heaps of her songs were banned from radio. Like,
whoa.
She was a punk.
She
essentially was. Like, she was writing these songs at a time when America was incredibly conservative.
She's like the epitome of cowpunk.
She really is. She's the OG cowpunk.
Yeah.
And yeah, she was banned. Like, all these songs that she was writing are about these progressive topics that were being banned and censored. And, you know, I think that it's safe to say that if Loretta didn't exist, then, you know, the music that I'm playing and that lots of other young country musicians are playing wouldn't exist, because she laid the foundations for us to do that. And she was so unapologetic in who she is, so authentic.
And writing and about her experience too, like, I guess that's kind of what you're doing as well.
Yeah, and one of the songs on the album is really, you know, directly a reference to Coal Miner's Daughter, and it's a song that called Silver Miner's Daughter.
I know, and it's funny. Every time I read this title, Coal Miner's Daughter, I hear that song in my head. I'm like, I know that's not the song, but I hear your song.
Yeah. And Coal Miner's Daughter is a song that's really about Loretta's experience growing up in Butcher Holler in a big family, and, you know, like my own song, Silver Miner's Daughter, I wrote based on my imaginings of what it was like to be the daughter of a silver miner in the early days of mining in Broken Hill, and the birth of the union movement. You know, as a feminist and a unionist, I like to reference the labor struggle that happened in Broken Hill, and this song kind of references that. But it also, you know, I grew up in a working class family myself in Newcastle. Mum was a stay-at-home parent, and my dad was a fitter and turner. And, you know, similarly in our house, we didn't have a lot of money growing up, but our house was very full of love and very full of music. So I can really connect with Loretta and Loretta's story, and also with the story of the silver miner's daughter that in my song, like, I guess it's kind of autobiographical in a way as well as being historical fiction. Yeah, and sadly we lost Loretta Lynn last year. She passed away, and it's so sad because I really did want to see her sing live. But now every time we play Silver Miner's Daughter, I like to tribute it to Loretta Lynn and just honour her memory, because she's an astounding songwriter and performer, and, yeah, I'm just so grateful for her music.
Well, let's give Loretta Lynn a listen, Coal Miner's Daughter.
Well, I was born a coal miner's daughter in a cabin on a hill in Butcher Holler. We were poor, but we had love. That's the one thing that Daddy made sure of. He shoveled coal to make a poor man's dollar. My daddy worked all night in the Van Leer coal mines, all day long in the field of hoeing corn. Mommy rocked the babies at night and read the Bible by the coal oil light. And everything would start all over come break of morn. Daddy loved and raised their kids on a miner's pay. Mommy scrubbed our clothes on a washboard every day. Why, I've seen her fingers bleed to complain there was no need. She'd smile in Mommy's understanding way. In the summertime we didn't have shoes to wear, but in the wintertime we'd all get a brand new pair. From a mail order catalog, money made from selling a hog, Daddy always get the money somewhere. Yeah, I'm proud to be a coal miner's daughter. I remember well the well where I drew water. The work we done was hard. At night we'd sleep 'cause we were taught. I never thought of ever leaving Butcher Holler. Except the memories of a coal miner's daughter.
It's interesting listening to that and thinking about your album. They're such similar sounds.
Yeah.
It's great.
I really, definitely really influenced by that classic country sound. I think that, you know, country took a bit of a weird turn in the 80s and the 90s and early 2000s.
Oh, now, and even now, like I have guilty pop country pleasures, but it's nothing like that. It's nothing like a good slide.
No, I know. I really wanted to give a powerful nod to classic country.
Yeah, well, you did that.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, I love it.
So where can we, when is your album coming out?
So my album is out on the 10th of March, Friday the 10th of March.
Next Friday.
Next Friday. It's out everywhere. You can stream it on all the streaming platforms, listen to it on Bandcamp, and it's being released on CD, on vinyl, and digitally as well. So I've got a shop up on my Bandcamp page, and folks can buy a copy of the album there.
Okay, and I have seen on the socials that you've just released a video clip that was made in Broken Hill.
Yes, yeah, I filmed a film clip for my song Barrier Line with my very dear friend and longtime creative partner, Amy Volkovsky, who runs Bushwitch Productions and also the Boneyard Sessions, and is such an integral member of Broken Hill's creative community and really, really supports arts and music in the Far West region. And yeah, it was such a beautiful experience to work with Amy. She has such an incredible creative mind and is an amazing filmmaker. And we spent a week together just like storyboarding and coming up with the ideas for the film, and then filming. And yeah, I think we've made a really special film clip that, you know, showcases the uniqueness of Broken Hill as a place and really features some of the quintessential Broken Hill landscapes and historical moments, but it also really celebrates, you know, regional and queer identities. And I think that we're so lucky in Broken Hill to have some really powerful, amazing people like Megan and Tom, who run the show on Too Dry Out in the Outback, that are, you know, really like creating an avenue for queer visibility in Broken Hill and being really inspiring to all the young queer people in Broken Hill. And it was such a pleasure to have Megan and Tom in their drag characters perform with us in Barrier Line, and also just to perform like it was Murray Codpiece's first drag performance.
Amazing. They did such a good job.
Such a great job. I wish, the only thing is, like, having a 3-minute song, you know, Murray and Amanda Streetly performed in the hall and did a whole performance.
Yeah,
for
and
us.
Then how do you pick the part how that you want to use? Yeah, totally.
I know. How do we distill that down to 3 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, but I'm just so grateful that they were involved in the making of this clip. And I'm really excited that we were able to celebrate queerness and queer culture in regional areas.
It's that video clip. It's just full of so many amazing things. It was interesting. I was talking to Amy yesterday about that process of you making that video clip and just you guys working together as a team. And she was saying that it's been amazing to reflect on the fact that you guys are each other's muses. And yeah, she was saying how women do that really well. Like, can complement each other and be each other's muses in a friendship. I was like, oh, that's such, I've never thought about that point before, but it's true.
Yeah, it's, you know, I feel so grateful. You know, I moved to Broken Hill and I was pretty isolated, and then Amy grew up in Broken Hill and moved back at the same time that I had moved here, and I'm just so grateful we struck up a very instantaneous friendship and really you know, have shared so much. You know, we often share the first drafts of songs we write with each other. We've played so many gigs together. And we just have this really beautiful friendship that's so deeply supportive of each other. And I love the way that we have that. And, you know, I feel like we're really lucky in Broken Hill amongst our community of friends, the way that we support and nurture each other. There's just so many inspiring women and non-binary folks in Broken Hill. I'm just constantly inspired by these friendships and the things that we're all creating and doing together.
So where can we see you play this album?
We will be coming to Broken Hill with my band from Melbourne.
Yay!
And this record, you know, was co-produced with two other people and friends, Jas Bell, who played mandolin and pedal steel on the record, and Grace Bigby, who played fiddle, and I had a bunch of other wonderful players, and we're going to be coming up to Melbourne to play a show at the Palace Hotel on Saturday, the 18th of March, and we're going to play all the songs from the record for you.
Oh, that's amazing. I haven't seen you play with the full band yet. That's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. And we've also got a lovely friend, Jess Parker, who is an incredible songwriter and one of the best guitarists I know.
Yeah, like I agree.
Her finger picking is just like unparalleled.
Yeah, it is.
Jess lives in Campbell's Creek near the studio where I recorded my album. And Jess is coming up to the Silver City with us from the goldfields of central Victoria. And also Amy Volkovsky is joining us on the lineup. So it's, a really powerful female lineup.
Everyone's got to get down to the Palace on the 18th of March to see this.
Yes. Yeah.
Please come.
Celebrate.
Definitely. And the Palace is definitely a home of celebration, so that's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, lots of the songs on the album, there's songs that'll get you up two-stepping. I'm hoping that people will be two-stepping together, and then there's some real tear-jerkers. So. And I'm hoping, Alex, that you'll join me on backing vocals.
Oh, I'd love to. If someone will hold my baby, I'll definitely. Oh, I could bring the baby up there. He might like that. So we should listen to one of your songs from the album.
Let's listen to Barrier Line.
And then everyone can go and watch the video after they've listened to it.
Barrier Line's the title track. I wrote it when I first moved here, and I made up the term Barrier Line, but it references the barrier ranges which run through Broken Hill and also the railway line that ran from Broken Hill to Silverton.
I think we all just call it the Barrier Line now. I don't call it the Barrier Ranges. I call it the Barrier Line.
And, it's a real honky-tonk and, like, nod to classic country, this song. And, I'm really happy with the arrangement that Jas Bell and I created for this song and the beautiful pedal steel intro that brings it in. Get around the music video.
Well, so nice talking to you, Charlotte.
So nice talking to you too.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed this conversation and learnt lots about female musicians and about your practice. And I'm really excited for you to be here.
Yes. Thank you so much. It's really beautiful to be here. I'm really grateful to 2Dry FM.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, 2Dry.
This special broadcast celebrating women in our community and to be in conversation with you, Alex, has just been really, really joyful.
And thanks to Hester for doing all of the behind the scenes, because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Massive shout out to Hester for curating this wonderful broadcast.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave everyone with Barrier Line by Charlotte Lelievre.
So much sorrow, so much down in my mind. I'm way at waste, just doing my time. Oh, Lord, they got me working hard. Down at that railroad yard, I'm stranded on the barrier line. No more moving, no more roaming around. stained my